Okay, we'll go over to the right side of the cockpit, and here's Gene Cernan. As you, right now, Gene and John are vying for the basic contest of who's growing the best mustache.
For Jack Schmidt's sake, this is how we take targets of opportunity. It's been a great trip so far. We worked hard, but it's been very challenging and very rewarding us as a team here, and I hope to our team down there, because we couldn't be where we are if it wasn't for all you guys down there, and we really appreciate it.
All right, you're done. I'll pass it on to everyone here in the Moker and on the other shifts. And I guess it goes without saying that we admire the fine performance that you all have turned in up there.
Thank you, Bruce. It's really been great. That pass down to the lunar surface at 50,000 feet in the rendezvous, and then shooting on the top part of Snoopy around the sun, and all the landmark tracking, and viewing the moon as we saw it, and also that climb out this morning as we left the moon. That's something you just won't ever forget. And it was so fantastic that we just wanted to share it there with you. Over.
Roger.
Here you see Gene turning around a flashlight that's turned on. Now, one thing we use in the spacecraft, because we do have the bottom of zero G, is some material called Velcro, and here you'll see Gene putting a light on one of the knobs, and John is also putting a pencil there. In fact, with just one small piece, he can hold this whole camera that we have. It's only less than 1 inch square, but yet it has the cohesive force to hold the desired object to the surface. Well, we're going to end our TV cast now by again just showing you the Earth and the Moon for one quick glance, and Gene will take the camera and point it out to the moon.
Ten, this is Houston. Is there anything we could see in the vicinity of the tunnel regarding condensation? Anything up there?
All right. Now we'll take you up in our tunnel there. We got a lot of gear stored in it.
Like Snoopy up there to me.
You better believe that might be a part of Snoopy.
Okay, you're looking at the edge of the hatch. There's the hatch handle right there. The basic mechanism of the hatch handle mechanism that opens. Now, if you can see it, there's condensation all over there. It's all wet, and it, right up there under the tunnel vent lights around the seal is drops of water and condense it out. Can you see that water on a tube? Does it show up on a monitor? And there's condensation on the walls of the tunnel as far down as the as the top of the top of the hatch surface. But there's very little electrical wiring in the tunnel, so we're not really worried about that.
Roger, we can't make out much in the way of water. We can see a little bit of glistening occasionally. That's about the size of it.
That's it. Well, there's a thin film of drops all over the hatch, and
right there. Roger, we caught something there. Roger.
That's the same type of film. It's all over the hatch and the tunnel walls. It's not a lot on the on a pressure equalization valve. Look at it right there.
Roger.
Bright shiny spots are water. And like I said before this morning, it's 20 degrees cooler in the tunnel. Very nice up there. The pressure equalization valve is covered with water. Well, every piece of equipment in there, particularly the steel pieces around the seal and pressure equalization valve, are covered with a thin film of water drops. And you can see some even on the hatch mechanism. The alignment arrows?
Yes, that's one.
That you used to align the hatch with?
Right, the alignment arrow comes through nicely. Yeah, in fact, we could read, I guess it was gearbox disconnect a few minutes ago.
Roger. This hatch weighs about 80 pounds, a little better. And at 1G, and in it with the a man that has very great difficulty positioning this thing and installing it and locking it by himself. And zero gravity, it's extremely easy to manipulate and operate, and it was even easy to wrestle it by these hoses the other day, which we had to take it out, put it in two or three times while we were checking out the lunar module, which was attached just above this hatch. But it was a piece of cake to haul it in and out.
Reports like that are good news for our AAP package handling problems.
I didn't say it'd be easy for AAP, Bruce.
I don't believe you can see it, but there's some big drops of water about the size of a quarter right where John's putting his hand up there right now, right opposite that tunnel light and opposite the end of the hatch handle. It's on the vertical portion of the hatch.
Right now, John has one of our absorbent towels and is mopping up the water around in that area on the hatch handle.
Roger. Okay, we're getting an outside view again.
Heaven. Roger, as a matter of fact, I was just up in the tunnel feeling of that. That stuff on the outer hatch seal is not water, it's ice.
Roger, ice.
Okay, Gene is going to focus in on the moon there. I think he's got it. Over.
Roger.
Okay, like Tom did with the Earth, I've turned the moon over for you, and you're looking at the North Pole at the top, the east is to the right, and the south is to the bottom of your screen. You're looking at the main area that we were interested in as far as landing site operation is concerned, the dark area in the middle, the Maria, Sea of Tranquility, Sea of Fertility area. As I say, with the naked eye, this is still very plain and very visible, and this is full zoom on the lens. The relative size, again, at some... about 40,000 miles away, both the Earth, from the moon, about 45,000 miles away. Looks like about a... shows up the size of about a nickel at about 18 inches. So with that, we'll leave you, Apollo 10, from Tom, John, and Gene, saying... we're proud to be here. We're proud to represent so many people back there. It's been a pleasure. It's been hard work, but it's been a tremendous challenge, and we're looking forward to completing successful landing, and thank you all again.
Roger, Apollo 10. We're looking forward to having you all back in about 2 days here. We're standing by.
Roger, Bruce.
The duration of that transmission was 29 minutes, 5 seconds.
Houston, Apollo 10.
Go ahead, 10.
Hi, Roger. You've heard our report how we feel healthy and very hearty up here. Just want to report on how our boss is doing, going through the same simulation with the food on the ground. Over.
Stand by a second. The boss just walked out. To go eat, we
probably walked out. He's probably about half sick.
What'd you say, Houston?
Roger, we speculate he went out to eat. He came over here to watch the pass, and I guess it's a secondary objective to find out whether you all were inserting a meal in the flight plan for today or not.
He had some other conveniences to go with that food that we don't have that might make it taste better.
Roger.
The boss is Donald K. Deke Slayton, Director of Flight Crew Operations. Deke Slayton was in the viewing room talking to Mrs. John Young at the time the crew asked for status report from him. I believe he's coming into the control center now and will probably talk to the crew very shortly.
Houston Apollo 10.
Over. Go ahead, 10.
Roger, for the GNN Water, Water Delta V, want to reconfirm that the yaw angle is 060 degrees. Over.
Stand by.
You know, Houston, if it's 060 degrees, according to the book, on one of these burns, you got to realign the platform. That's too close to the middle gimbal, over.
Roger, we don't want you to have to do that, so we'll waive the 060 bit. Dan Houston, correction there. We will waive the platform realignment and use yaw of 060.
That was a preacher going to say that.
Dan Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
I understand you wanted a food report from the 1G test sample down here.
Roger, I said that we're doing real good up here. Deke can feel real healthy. Wonder how you were surviving down there on it. Over.
I'm surviving real well, except I'm starving to death. That hydrogen up there must be real filling.
It is. I guess that's the only factor that that you're missing there, boss, because this water really seems to fill you up. Over.
Yeah, we save some weight on food that way.
All right, good reducing diet. Also, I guess our total BTUs per day is probably a little bit less, particularly after that rendezvous day here, as far as our movements and everything. And when we start to use the Exergeny right away, you build up a heat load that 5 PSI can't circulate out very well. Over.
Right, I expect that's true.
Houston, Apollo 10, again, I mentioned earlier today, and I guess it got relayed on to you, that we're still itching quite a bit from all the insulation that we got in here from the tunnel hatch, and at least after that microbiology, the next thing we want to do after we get aboard the carrier is going to be to take a shower. Over.
Roger got that message, Tom, and the medics are shaking their head. Yes, that sounds like a reasonable plan to them.
Okay, real good. I wish we had a camera going inside. It looked like three people scrambling around in a snowstorm here when that vent valve was opened up there. And the same way over in Snoopy. Snoopy was completely covered with a snowstorm, but we got it fairly well policed up. But it still is settling around all over. And so we're taking care of it the best we can, but I think that's the best way to get rid of the rushes we have over. There's no problem, but we just want to shower as soon as we get out.
Ten, is you
cleaning the inflow valve out at regular intervals?
Roger, have you tried using the wet wipes? Do they help any?
Oh, yeah, we've taken about the best type of shower we can, and all the skin treatment and everything else, and we keep cleaning the inflow valve to the ECS system at least three or four times a day. There's still just fine fibers and lint from the fiberglass in there, but we've got everything under hand, but meanwhile, we just itch a little bit, over.
Roger, we copy, and we'll work on lining up some showers for you.
Okay, thank you now.
Uh-huh.